My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me now and we will explore these topics and so much more with fascinating guests, authors, and experts who will guide us to Destination Unlimited. There are questions as old as the first human developed the ability to ask them. Why are we here on this earth? Does life have significance and meaning? Are there lessons we've come to learn? Is there a higher purpose for us all to aspire to? Answering these questions is difficult for most of us, but my guest this week on Destination Unlimited, world-famous psychic medium Kim Russo, possesses a unique gift that allows her to see what many of us cannot. Kim Russo, known around the world as the Happy Medium, starred on Lifetime Movie Network's popular show, The Haunting of, and speaks annually at hundreds of presentations across the United States. In her first book, The Happy Medium, she shared how at a very young age, she realized that she could communicate with the dead and offered lessons from her experience. In her brand new book, Your Soul Purpose, How to Access the Light Within, she guides us to embrace love, let go of fear, and discover the spiritual tools we already possess to find the deeper meaning of our existence and fulfill our destiny. It is my distinct and happy pleasure to welcome to Destination Unlimited the Happy Medium, Kim Russo. Welcome, Kim, and thank you so much for joining us.
Aw, thank you. I like happy pleasure. That's nice. For the happy medium.
Happy pleasure for the happy medium, exactly. So, Kim, let's begin by sharing with our listeners your story. When did you first realize that you could communicate with the dead, and what was that first experience like?
It's sort of a twofold answer, but technically, they started answering me when I was in my late 20s. So when you say communicate, when I was a child, I would see spirits standing at the foot of my bed nightly. And the difference back then to now is they were staring through me. They never had any words to say. They never had any facial expressions. Knowing what I know now as an adult, I believe they were from the Depression era. They were very sad looking. If I think back now, I can see exactly what they looked like. They had very, they actually maybe were hungry, who knows? Poor, depressed, sad. And they wouldn't smile, they wouldn't communicate. They would just stare at me while I was going to sleep. So years later, after an uncle of mine passed away, and after my third child was born, I put this together with my own brain. You know, I'm just sort of putting the pieces together like a puzzle. They started talking to me in my mind's eye, and I thought I was losing my mind. I was hearing voices. I was hearing thoughts that were not mine. And I was hearing information that if I were to take dictation and listen to what they were saying, many of them wanted me to look for their families and deliver a message. And these were complete strangers. So I was arguing with the voices. How do you expect me to find your family? I don't know who you are. I don't know if this is my imagination. Lo and behold, long story short, one afternoon I was putting my youngest, who was a baby, up for a nap up in the bedroom, and I ventured into my own bedroom. I said, okay, now is the time, let me straighten up the home. I was making my bed, and I went to bend down to pick up a throw pillow to put on the bed, and as I turned my whole body, there was a figure in the doorway, and it was the quickest vision and thought from this figure came rushing into my head what this figure wanted to say to me. And she told me she was she died in a fire, and she turned her head for a split second, and everything was charred on one side of her body. So I knew it wasn't a solid entity, but yet it was speaking to me, and it told me to find her parents. At the time, she told me where they lived. They were in New Jersey somewhere, and she told me their names and her name, and she told me to contact them. You know, I am a skeptic by nature. I didn't believe any of it. I thought I was hallucinating. You know, who would really just take that direction and start looking in New Jersey? So, long story short, that's how it went down. And the voices haven't stopped. They came back with a vengeance, with a voice. And pretty much now they are, they're like my best friends on the other side. I speak more to them than the living on most days.
I was going to ask you later, but let's get to that now. So how do they present themselves? Do they always present themselves visually, or is it the voice that you hear, or a feeling, or is it a combination? They talk about being clairsentient, clairvoyant, clairaudient. Is it a combination for you?
It is now. In the beginning, it was only a clairaudient, where I was hearing them. Well, I don't mean when I was a child. Children have no predisposed programs that they're conditioned to. They come in very innocent and natural with a loving, open heart.
No filters, so, yeah.
Yeah, no filters. So back then, it was very much clairvoyant. As time went on, I became a teenager. All of that shut down. And I do believe that was for the purpose of having my kids and my family. I do believe that was my first soul purpose, soul contract that I planned on. So I needed to fulfill that first. When they started coming full force, it was more clairaudient. I was hearing, just as I would go about my day, "Hi, Kim, my name is Carol. I died of a heart attack." And they would always tell me how they died. And I would have these arguments in my mind, like, "Well, leave me alone. I can't help you." Somehow they knew I could help them. And it started off that way. And then it started with a dare from a friend who we were on the same bowling league. And after bowling, a friend of mine, she just put me to the test. She said, "Hold my watch," because I know that she knew what was happening to me, by the way. And I started to pick up vibrations from her watch, which is psychometry. I didn't know any of this then. And I started to tell a tale or a story, a true story, of her mother-in-law who had just passed away 2 weeks prior. And I did not, this girl was a friend of a friend. So I didn't know that she lost her mother-in-law. I didn't know anything. And the voices, I just was hearing information, and I was feeling impressions in my body. And I was just delivering everything as I was seeing it, hearing it, and feeling it. And everything I said, she told me she understood, and she kept telling me how accurate it was. I did not believe her. I thought she was just, pulling my leg. Until the next morning, she called me very early, and I realized she wasn't kidding, because she had her brother on the line with me, and she wanted to see if I can channel his dead best friends. And I was able to do it. And I was just as curious as everyone else. And I thought that maybe it was a fluke. Maybe I just got lucky. And maybe it can never happen again.
Now, often this gift runs in families. Did anyone in your family before you have the gift?
Absolutely. My father's sister, who she lived out of the country my whole life, but she didn't have the gift that I have. But we've always known about her. And when she would come to America, anyone who was ill or not feeling well, she would do some kind of prayer. And she has the gift. She's actually still alive. She has the gift of healing. So the healing energy works through her. And then I don't even think I would call it Reiki. She had her own form of doing this. And my dad said that when they were children, and they all shared one bedroom in Europe growing up. They were very poor. She would get up in the middle of the night in some form of a trance with her arms raised up to the heavens, and she would ask the angels to come to her. And they knew not to wake her up because she was in some kind of a trance. And so we always knew about her, but I was always afraid of her, to be honest. Children, I guess it's what you don't understand. You know, you fear.
Absolutely. Now, I often hear from parents who share that their children appear to be open to subtle energy and spirit, and they ask for advice. What would you share with them?
Well, the biggest advice I would give any parent is to listen to your child when they speak about having an imaginary friend. If they're fearful in their bed all of a sudden when they can't sleep because they feel someone's in their room, I would encourage them together. I would have the parent together with the child go in there and try to form some kind of communication and do prayers and let them know that they're safe and that the child has all the control and that nobody else has the control over them. But the biggest advice I would give them is to listen and believe your child.
Absolutely, to be loving and to have compassion and to understand that this child is having this experience, that it's not something that's imaginary or being made up.
Right, and if my parents believed me, otherwise I don't know, I think I would have had a different experience, but they certainly believed me.
Absolutely. You know, growing up, I had a similar experience, not as intense as you, but I would bring that information to my family and was often told that I had an overactive imagination and stop imagining things and be down to earth. And it really was difficult for me growing up having those experiences.
Yeah. And another thing is if a parent brings their child to a doctor or a psychiatrist, if that person has no knowledge of this other realm or the way that this works, you know they'll be very quick to put them on some kind of medication.
Absolutely.
And I just think that the mom or the dad should have an open mind, explore a little bit more about this. I have a whole chapter in my first book, The Happy Medium, that speaks about a bubble technique that they can do with their child every morning so the child feels protected and the child will be protected.
My guest is Kim Russo, The Happy Medium. Her book is Your Sole Purpose. Learn how to access the light within. We'll be back with more of Kim after these words on the OM Times Radio Network.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization. Their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Back on Destination Unlimited, my guest this week is Kim Russo, The Happy Medium, and we're talking about her brand new book, Your Sole Purpose, Learn How to Access the Light Within. Kim, for those who have not yet read The Happy Medium, what would you like them to take away from that book? If they go out and buy it tomorrow, what message do you want them to take from that book?
There actually are a few, and for those people who are struggling with institutions such as religious organizations that teach people that their gifts are not to be looked at, that they're actually from the devil, that they don't possess any power, that it's all make-believe. I struggled with this same belief system, and it's stopping so many people open up to their heart and putting their faith in just these organizations and institutions. So they're losing their own power. So my book explains my journey of how I embraced my gift. And besides my story and how I've come to accept and embrace this whole world and going into my heart, I share true life lesson plans from my courses that I teach my students. And they're very helpful. They're very interactive. People could try these lesson plans with their children because they're very interactive. I work with energy, obviously, and mediums work with energy. And there are some exercises in the book that actually you can test working with energy and getting the answers right on the spot. So it's pretty cool. It's chock full of information.
You mentioned the classes that you teach. How do people find out about those classes?
Well, it's when I am in the season of teaching them. I teach in person at the moment. I am planning on having online courses where everyone can join in on, some kind of platform, computer platform. But locally, people would have to be interviewed for my classes. I didn't just let anyone in. I had to see, what was the real reason they wanted to develop? What was the reason they wanted to be in the class? The level of gift did not matter. Because by the end of the class, everyone developed their own sacred gift. Not all mediumship, but working with energy that cannot be seen on some level. So mediums, healers, some people, went the route of therapeutic touch, tarot card reading, intuitive readings, all kinds of different Reiki. So I don't tell people what their gift is, but the class helps them to cultivate what their gift is.
That's wonderful. How did you decide to bring your gift out to the world?
Well, I had a private practice for over 20 years in Anafar, locally in my town. And I live on Long Island. Many people want to know, what is it with the mediums on Long Island? Okay. And I do believe, because I have so many colleagues and friends that are mediums and light workers that live on Long Island. So one day I had the pleasure, now you know how this works, a friend of a friend put me in front of a TV producer, and I did not know it was a TV producer, and they were blown away by my reading, and they brought me into the network to read for higher executives. And when they offered me a TV show, which was The Haunting of, okay, it was bittersweet because I worked so hard to prove, to be credible, to have people believe the information speaks for itself. But some people, when it comes to ghosts and all those haunting kind of paranormal activity, I think that's kicking it up a notch. So I had a little staff meeting with my spirit guides, and I said, "You're really giving me a haunting show? Really? Because I'm all coming from the light. I'm the happy medium. I want happy vibes. And now I have to go into haunted places." And my guides kept telling me, "You need to trust us. Just trust us." And so I did. And the show has become such a brilliant light. So, yeah, there are dark times, and the celebrities were going through dark times in their life, and that was reflective of the haunting experience they had. So the way that the show wraps up at the end is really, really light-filled, and it has a lesson, and it has reasons why things happen. And from the TV show, there's always people that now want to, have you appear at their theaters, their casinos. I was always doing my own thing with groups and restaurants and going to people's homes and doing groups, for over 20 years. So I did feel that it was time for a bigger platform to hear this work, learn about this work. And if it was kind of placed right in front of me, I didn't go seeking it. So I really do feel that that's how spirit wanted it to unfold. And then it's a very unusual story how I got my first book deal and then my second book deal. Spirit is on the job. They are my biggest manager, agent. They are doing it all, and I'm so grateful.
When you answer their calling, the path unfolds right before you.
And that truly is how it happened for me.
Yeah.
I had no intentions of being an author, a medium, when I grew up. I didn't have that intention.
What has working with people who have passed to the other side taught you about the purpose of the soul?
The first thing, the biggest lesson that they've taught me is that the soul is indestructible and that it transcends space and time. It's infinite and it has no beginning and no end. So the soul will keep going and going. And they've told me that death is nothing but a passage into the next room. The other thing they've taught me, first and foremost, is that these are the ones that didn't know this while they were alive, but they learned this when they got to the other side. The question that was most asked of them was not how much money did you make, you know, not how, you know, how many friends did you have and how many assets did you have, but how much did you love?
Yeah.
And that is always their message, is to spread love, compassion, and the fact that we are not separate from one another. In fact, we are each other.
Mm.
I am you and you are me.
Like John Lennon said in that song, and in the end, the love you take is equal to the love you make.
You make. Absolutely. He was a visionary. Forget about it.
Sure. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah. Was enlightened by the other side. So, yeah, there's more lessons, you know, like practical lessons that we can. The other thing, also biggest other lesson, but this goes back to loving, is forgiveness. Forgiveness is also a key ingredient to allowing yourself to love in the fullest way.
Absolutely. In your new book, Your Soul Purpose, you discuss universal laws that we need to embrace to fully connect with that purpose. Let's talk about some of those laws and how they impact the living and the dead, such as frequency. What's frequency in your definition?
Frequency is a vibration. So everything is made of vibrations. Everything. Everything is made up of matter and atoms. And if you were to actually put any object under a microscope, it would show a certain vibration. Like it would move at a certain rate, correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You can see the molecules moving. So a vibration is an energetic imprint that connects to I want to say energy, if you think about it. So, I mean, just to put it in layman's terms, if you see someone who walks in the room and they're exhausted and they have, like, you know, they're pale and their shoulders are slouched, you can assume they have a very low vibration, okay? Depression is connects to a low vibration. And the vibrations connect to emotions. So the positive vibrations, right? Positive, you know, there's songs about that, bring you to the higher frequency. It's like dialing, it's like a dial on a, you know, any kind of electronic. And you turn the dial all the way up on a radio, you're going to be at a very high frequency. You know, and it's connected to the chakras, which is the energy system in your body. Okay, so I speak all about that in my first and second book because people need to know what chakras are and that they're very real. And they're energy systems that flow through our body that connect us to our spiritual bodies, right? So you've heard the expression mind, body, soul. We don't just have one body. We have the, you know, the ethereal body, the mind, the physical body, and the spiritual body. So we have to kind of make sure they're all healthy bodies. So I can have a physical body that seems healthy, but my spiritual vibration is very low. It's going to impact all the bodies.
And the essence of what we're talking about, the soul, is actually a form of energy. And the laws of physics very simply explain to us that energy can neither be created nor destroyed, but changes from form to form. That's what we're talking about here.
Yes, if you want to, you know, look at this from a scientific angle, I'm all for it. Science was my favorite subject in school, and I am very scientific. I'm also I am somebody with great faith. I always I was raised that way, and I've always had this, from birth, this connection to this world that we cannot see, a higher power, if you will. But the energy that exists, exactly what you said, and I write about that in the book, you know, water is a form of an energy. You can freeze it to create a different appearance. You can boil it, and it will make steam. But it will evaporate, but it's still in the air. It's nothing different than the soul. The soul changes, doesn't cease to exist just because it leaves the body. And in your soul purpose, I speak about a meditation that I did once when I was actually wanting to know more about the soul in one of my meditations. And the vision that my guides put in front of me was this beautiful looking bird cage. And they showed me this Victorian looking cage with a bird perched inside of the cage. And they told me the bird is the soul and the cage is the body.
Mm.
And if the bird flies out of the cage, it doesn't mean he's not somewhere else. He just left his body or his, you know, shelter, I guess.
Absolutely beautiful analogy. My guest is Kim Russo. She's the author of Your Soul Purpose, Learn How to Access the Light Within. Kim, please tell our listeners where they can get your book and find out more about you and this wonderful work.
Oh, well, they can get my book anywhere where books are sold. But I do recommend going to yoursoulpurposebook.com. And then they can get the book there from any of their favorite retailers. And they can check out my website, kimthehappymedium.com. And they can follow me on all social media platforms. And on my website, there are links to those platforms. I'm very active on those social platforms. And I send out newsletters. And so just to let them know what I'm up to and, you know, how they can kind of join in.
And we'll be back with more of Kim Russo and Your Soul Purpose after these words on the Om Times Radio Network.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg rolls showed up, like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Back on Destination Unlimited, my guest this week is Kim Russo, the Happy Medium, and we're talking about her brand new book, Your Soul Purpose, Learn How to Access the Light Within. Kim, in your new book, we were talking about the frequency and vibration that you mentioned, and you also talk about a universal law. What is that law, and is it different on the earth and in spirit?
Well, it's not just one law, but if you think about laws that govern the earth, earthly bodies, such as, do not kill, do not steal, wear your seatbelt when you drive.
Yeah.
It keeps order. It keeps everything kind of running smooth. And the same is, goes for the soul. We don't have a soul and just haphazardly are dropped here on our heads with no handbook. Okay, so when you learn the laws of the soul or the spiritual laws that govern, I guess, other dimensions and other realms, then you can understand, like, for example, earthly law would be like the law of gravity, right? Well, in the spiritual laws, like the law of oneness, of the law of divine oneness, the law of gratitude, which is my favorite one, the law of attraction, which everybody knows, you know, what you think you will attract, and what you are what you attract. You know, we all know that one. That's like the biggest one that people are familiar with. Like attracts like, you know, that law of attraction one. But there are many. There is the law of resistance I speak about in the book, where, you know, if one thing is not meant for your soul and your soul did not write it into the blueprint of the life you're in now, and you just want it to be for your own selfish reasons or for whatever reason, and it's like fitting that round peg in the square hole, you're doing yourself a lot of damage when you resist instead of going with the flow and just leaning into the energy. So I speak about that. I break everything down so people understand, to bring it into the practical world, right? Because we all resist at times. Like, you know, we want what we want. We're human species. You know, there's a lot of entitled people out there these days. They're getting, you know, the younger generation is becoming more and more feeling entitled. And they don't have patience either. Many people have learned, you know, that the society we live in just is instant. Everything is instant. Even the coffee, we have the Keurigs, right? Think about it. We have coffee in 2 seconds flat. Drive-through restaurants. So nobody has patience anymore. But that's my point about these laws, is they were created for the soul to abide by them and to listen for the signs, okay? So if all these doors keep closing in your face, they're not meant for you. So I need people to understand. I just think it helps people look at life differently. You know, when you learn to surrender, that's another part of the book. Surrendering what is being shown to you. Surrender your ego. So the ego is always like, you know, telling you you're the best and you have to have everything. And it separates you from other people. When you start judging other people, because it's all because of fear. And so I break this all down into love and fear in the book. And throughout the book, I remind people what law I'm speaking about. And I talk about the spiritual laws in the beginning of the book, sort of just to give everybody an idea of what to look for throughout the book. But I keep stopping and reminding them this is what this law is, you know, as I speak in each chapter. But that's what we fail to. Nobody teaches us about those laws. We don't learn them in the schools. It's a shame. That's really who we are. Mm-hmm. You know, we need to know the two sets of laws. Now, I know we have the Bible, listen, or the Torah, or whatever religion you're in, okay? So a lot of people will say, well, those are the spiritual laws, Kim. Well, yes, if you want to just go by the organized religion. But I'm talking about like the earthly laws, living as a soul in a physical body, and these certain laws. and listen, I'm not a Bible scholar, so I can't say if they're in the Bible or not. But I just know these are what my spirit guides wanted me to talk about. They channeled the whole book through me, chapter by chapter. And I didn't know this book wasn't making sense to me for quite a while. Because they did not give me the information all in order. It didn't flow right away. But then it all kind of, like a puzzle. All the pieces look very fuzzy. And then at one point, it all starts to come together. And that's how it was put, you know, channeled.
If you look at the foundation of every major faith and religion on this planet, there is a fundamental law that you could find in everyone, and that law is do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It's the golden rule. And that's really, and love thy neighbor as thyself. And if we all ascribed to those rules,
Listen, if they channeled the word love in this book, at least 1,000 times. Yeah. I mean, it's brought in so many different ways and different chapters, and but it keeps going back to that one vibration, and that is love is the highest vibration that we can ascend to. And that's the goal. That's why we're here, is to learn how to release the ego and actually live through the heart center or chakra. And therefore, when we do this, and that's not easy to do living in human form, but when, you know, there are some, you know, gurus out there that have, you know, attained that, where they're in the mountains of Tibet meditating 23 hours a day, they are the ones that can ascend the human condition by totally dropping their ego. They're able to walk on hot coals, walk through fire, levitate, and that is all real. The reason why we can't do those things is because we believe we can. You see? So this book is really teaching about, if we are all one and we are all connected to the higher source, which we are, we, and this is in the Bible, but we will be doing greater works than Jesus ever did.
Mm-hmm. So here's this soul. The soul is getting ready to come down to this planet. How do we pick the body or the family or the arrival?
So it does, first of all, you don't have to come back, okay? So that's what they've told me on the other side. But when you have open karma, it's like having an open bank account. You kind of have to come and close out the account. All right. And so based on, and you do travel in soul circles, so you will come back with a lot of the same souls in different forms. Mothers may be your sister in another life. You know, so when you recognize the soul here on earth and you feel like they're not new, that you've known them forever and ever, then they're part of your soul group. They don't all show up at birth, by the way. They are sprinkled in your life as you go. And they show up at the right reasons for the right times. And you all agree to this. We all agree to, okay, this is what I'm going to do. This is the reason I'm going. I'm going into that family to either learn something tremendous, to teach something tremendous, both, or to experience something tremendous. Okay, so every family is different. Every soul has a different reason why they're going, picking that family, picking that parent. But we do align. For example, I have a son who I believe, well, I've seen his gift. It's off the charts. And I believed he picked me to be his mentor, his mother, and you know, be in this family. It hasn't unfolded yet, but I see the bigger picture. He doesn't know it yet. I mean, I tell him because he's old enough to understand. But I know why he's in this old family. I know exactly why. And, you know, that's another thing I do when I do readings, is I read the blueprint of the soul. Because the soul has a blueprint, you know, just like, you know, architecture. We have a reason we're here. It's like a plan. So when you think about it, you picked it all. Mm. You even picked your name, the time you were going to be born. And I wrote about all of this in my new book. There's a chapter on astrology and how that's part of your toolkit that was given to us by the universe. Mm-hmm. Numerology, the world was created in numbers, by numbers, sacred geometry. There's a chapter on sacred geometry. But again, I bring it all into real life layman's terms, because that's my gift too. I break everything down so that people can understand it the way that I understand it and I can learn it, right? So it's pretty cool when you think about not only the universal laws, but there are some toolkits going on that we were given. Astrology can help you really find your soul purpose. these things can guide you in the right direction. I speak about sacred geometry. I give a chart on vibrations, love versus fear. And there's somewhere in the middle where you can actually see where your vibration is and which emotions stem from which vibration stems from which emotion. Okay, so it's everything broken down, probably not in a way anybody's ever looked at their life in the past. Okay, because when you ask someone, who are you? Usually they answer by giving you their roles. I'm a wife, I'm a mother, I'm a medium. And that's not who you are. Those are the roles you've acquired. So this book really helps them soul search, look deeper, go deeper into themselves to find out who they really are as a soul.
My guest, cool. I'm sorry, Kim, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, it's pretty cool.
It is cool. It's really cool. And my guest is a really cool Kim Russo, the Happy Medium. She's the author of Your Soul Purpose, Learn How to Access the Light Within. And we'll be back with more of Kim after these words on the Om Times Radio Network.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Back on Destination Unlimited, my guest this week is Kim Russo, the Happy Medium. We're talking about her brand new book, Your Soul Purpose, Learn How to Access the Light Within. And Kim, before we took the break, we were talking about what I think is the number one problem in this world. When we talk about division, when we talk about hatred, when we talk about the lack of love, the number one reason is fear. We're afraid. How do we go from fear to love? How do we get beyond that?
Well, I do believe it's a conscious choice. And one thing that was brought to my attention, whenever I say that, I mean by the other side, many years ago was, I'm always deep in thought, and I'm a Gemini, and I'm always contemplating and thinking. And my guide said to me, fear stems from mostly dying. And I was like, what? Well, yeah, most fears stem from the fear of dying, okay? And of course, so if I am afraid to be homeless, why is that? Because I'm afraid I won't have enough food and I'll die. If you're afraid of heights, well, you're afraid that you're going to fall and die. So most fears stem from the fear of dying. So that's number one. When you alleviate fear of dying and you won't be afraid to die, you won't be afraid to live. So that's pretty cool when they told me that. But fear is a conscious decision. And a lot of the times it's due to people's programming and their inner child. So fear of rejection. Maybe those people were rejected and they didn't fit in on the playground in school. It does always go back to how you were sort of conditioned as a young person. And people don't realize it goes back that far, but it certainly does. So does self-esteem. You know, we're all formed at those early formative ages, our personalities, our self-esteem. So everything goes back to then when we're talking about fear. You could really try to trace it. I tell people, try to track down, when did that fear start? Where did it start, if you can? And I hear a lot of people say to me, well, my mom had those same fears. Or I don't know. I wasn't really ever afraid of dogs, but my mother was because she was bit by a dog, just as an example. So we learn a lot of our fears. So you have to realize that they're nothing but programs that can be reprogrammed. And I talk about how to do that in the book, which is good, because fear keeps us from our heart, you know, it keeps our heart chakras blocked.
You mention in your book that clearing physical space can help people connect more deeply to their souls. How does that work?
Yes, that is a chapter on feng shui that I have in the book. It's like, you know, decluttering your mind, decluttering your space. It's your space is a reflection of your mind. Okay, people don't realize that, but when you have energy, and there's that word again, Victor, that energy can flow easily when there's a cleaner, lighter space. So when you walk into a home that is of someone who's a hoarder and has just magazines all over and junk everywhere, just think about, number one, what's going through that person's mind whose home that is. And second, there's energy can't really flow any place in that space. Okay, because energy needs to move. It needs to breathe. And I know for me, just personally, when my home is tidy and neat and organized and clean, my thoughts can become organized, tidy, neat, and clean. It kind of goes hand in hand, really. And I also want to say to clean your space energetically, not just physically. If someone visits and there's a negative person in your home, you kind of just have to open the windows, get out some sage, light a candle, and I believe in intention. You know, burn like has some essential oils like lavender. Just kind of say quick prayer, send the depressed, low vibrating person, even if it's someone you work with. You know, sometimes we bring this energy as residue. We bring it home with us. So we have to leave it outside. I remember growing up, my mother would say to my father every time he would come back from my mother's in-laws, which was my father's family, she would say, every time you come home from them, you're in a bad mood. And I remember that growing up because his family, a lot of them, you know, they would put these thoughts in his head or they were negative, and he would bring them home to us as a family. So you have to be very, very conscious of where the fear originates. And is the fear even real? That's the biggest thing to ask yourself.
Absolutely. I often talk to people about how sometimes when I'm involved in a project or something new, that I can manifest in my mind all of these complications and issues that prevent me and block me from getting to the other side, only to find out that when I finally get through the process, all of those things didn't exist. It was all in my imagination.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. And all the what ifs, right? Yeah. What if, what if, what if? And I always say, well, what if it works out exactly, if not better than you could have ever imagined? Why don't you ever put that what if in the sentence?
That's it.
People just tend not to do it. So this book is a great reminder to people. But so many of the soul searching and soul quizzes at the end of each chapter is designed because people don't ever really stop and ask themselves these questions, you see. And they can write it in black and white. You know, they can print out or write in the book itself the answers, and they can refer back to it when they feel they've made some progress.
Actually, let's touch on that for a second. You call that soul search. How do people search for their own souls?
Well, you know, it's the soul is already there, okay? So in the book, I talk about it like a floor of a home or a floor. And everything, the soul can be equivalent to anything physical in the world, right? Just think about that. And then you just keep piling things to clutter the soul. So our minds are the cluttering. Our belief systems clutter the soul. The soul itself is who you are. So you don't need to find it. It's not lost. It's there. It is your subconscious mind, which means It's all of the memories of all of the lives the soul has encountered. And all of the knowledge that your soul holds, it's in there, right? So there are, when you wake up, you ever hear about when you go to sleep, people say, go sleep on it when they're looking for an answer?
Yes.
Sleep on it. Well, what they're really doing is they're getting in touch with their soul. Because when they're sleeping, the conscious mind that creates all the chaos and the clutter and the noise is put to rest, and the soul itself is running the show while you sleep. So then you wake up and you automatically know where your keys are, or you remember where a memory from your childhood, or you know, anything we have suppressed is inside your soul. It's like Pandora's box. It's not lost though, but the key to unlock this box is through the heart chakra. That's the gateway, the heart. So we have to rise up from the lower chakras, which is, and I speak all about that in the book, the root chakra is connected to the ego and the physical world, which is down below all your, down below your navel, okay? So that's where you have the fears, the fear of dying, the fear of being poor, the fear of living in this world and how you're going to survive in this world. So when you move up the chakra system and you bang on, get into the heart, and that's where you stay in heart, in love and compassion, okay? It's not easy to do. I'll say it a million times. It's not easy to stay in the heart because our egos always want to tell us, you're better than that person, or why shouldn't you have it? You know, we always want to just, the ego lies to us, okay? But once you get into the heart, you can't lie. There are no lies. You know the truth. And then it's like when you know better, you do better kind of a thing. So that's pretty much the soul. Is the soul can just get blocked and like a dirty pile of clothes on it. Like a vent. You know, like a vent, an air conditioning vent on the floor?
Absolutely.
You put all that nonsense on top of it. It can't breathe. It can't grow. It can't thrive. So the soul has to have some light. How do you get the light? It goes through the heart. That's how.
What would you like your readers to take away from your soul purpose?
I would like my readers to take away the simple fact that what I just said, your soul is not lost. It's there. It's waiting to give you everything you've ever wanted. It's trying to remind you of your blueprint. Okay? It's trying to guide you the best possible route, the fastest route, easiest route. And it's really about ascending the physical world. So there's a chapter in the end that I speak about the ascension process, which I believe all of us are in the midst of. And if you're not in the midst of it, you're still living in the matrix of the conditioned world. And I speak all about the conditioning of the world in the book, such as there is not enough of everything to go around. Nobody believes, or we were conditioned to believe, that abundance is for the rich and that it's not made for everyone. Where in fact, when you live your soul purpose through your heart chakra, there are no statistics. The world is your oyster. There's nothing you can't do. And you are living in the way you were meant to live, through love and compassion. That's the vibration. We have to ascend to the vibration of love. That's why we're here. We're learning this. We're learning how to do it. But you can't do that unless you drop the ego. So, you know, it's going to help. I don't want to say reprogram you, but in a sense, it's going to allow you to drop all of the programs that you've been carrying around that are not serving you.
Welcome.
That's what that's what this book is.
Welcome to the Soul Classroom. Leave your ego at the door. My guest is Kim Russo, the Happy Medium. Her book is called Your Soul Purpose, Learn How to Access the Light Within. Kim, one more time, please tell our listeners where they can get your book and find out more about you and this wonderful work.
Well, I recommend they go on yoursoulpurposebook.com and you can pick it from your favorite retailer where you want to buy the book. It's wherever books are sold. It's coming out in audio with my voice, Kindle, all CDs, all sorts of platforms and types of digital. So any form, you have no excuse. You can listen to it in the car or while you're exercising and everything. My website is kimthehappymedium.com. Everything on there tells you about my live appearances, my exciting news. You can sign up for my newsletter where I often send out just to let everybody know what I'm up to. I'm very active on all social media platforms, very interactive as much as I can. And I look forward to hearing from everyone.
Kim, thank you so much for being with us this week. This is wonderful information. Your book is great, and I hope our listeners get it right away because there's so much they can learn. We all have to move from fear to love and get back to our soul purpose. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
And thank you for joining us on Destination Unlimited. I'm Victor, the Voice Furman. Have a wonderful week.